Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we're going to start off this week with a cosmic connection. What is that? Well, we're going to be talking to Carol Lynn and find out exactly what we're going to be doing here. This is about bringing messages for a better world. Carol Lynn, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's wonderful to be here.
Carol Lynn, you have a real passion for being able to be involved in life, making a difference. You founded a Singing for Soul and Quality performance coaching business for public speakers and performers. But all of a sudden, your life, when you came to what you describe as the midlife part of your experience, that you had a talent you didn't really know about. We'll find out about that in a minute. And as you began to use your talent, you decided that your world was going to be changing. But more than that, you were also going to have effects on the world of people around you. Tell us what that change was in midlife.
Well, in midlife, I began to realize that I could see the spirits of those who had passed on. I'd always been psychic. As a child, I was psychic, and I was even tested in my early 20s in New York City for being psychic. But that I thought of as ESP, and it wasn't particularly interesting to me. But when I first saw the spirit of a dog of mine that had passed on, it really got my attention. And then I started seeing other images of spirits of people who had lived. And quite frankly, Donna, I didn't know what was happening to me. And I spoke to different people about this, and somebody said to me, maybe you're a medium. And I literally said, what is a medium?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard the word. I didn't know the concept. It wasn't anything I was looking for. It just started happening to me. And so I decided to study this, to find out more about what this was. And I spent, you know, quite a few years studying both in the United States and in Europe to understand this gift of mediumship, how to use it ethically, how to work with people. And so my whole life was really turned upside down.
Now, let's address this for a moment, because I was talking with some people this weekend. It seems like wherever I go, and I'm sure this happens to you, that you always end up teaching. There's always someone that will be going through experiences, and they yearn to be able to talk to someone that's not going to consider that they're a mental inmate for, you know,
right,
a mental institution here. And so it's just a joy to be able to share the information. Tell us a little bit about the education you went through. Now, reading is a wonderful way because in today's world we have so much wonderful material out there, so many good people trying to share what their experiences have been, just like you are. But what was it that you went through overseas? What was offered? Were you in England, Scotland,
okay,
France? Where
okay.
were you?
Well, when I realized that I could see spirit, I signed up for two different educational programs, one in the United States with the American Federation of Spiritualist Churches, and I'm an ordained minister through that organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I also supplemented my education by going back and forth for 7 years to the Arthur Findlay College in Stansted, England, which is known as the College of Psychic Research. And I studied with many world-renowned mediums there, and it was really a great help to me, the combination of these two programs.
Now, how was it a help to you? Because it's one thing when you have a textbook type of an environment, but what was it? Because I know so many of my listeners have had various experiences. What was it that enabled you to, let's say, ground yourself where you were comfortable with what was happening with you, how was it different?
Being with people in a circle, where we call it circle work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people
mm-hmm.
will sit in a circle and give each other messages from spirit. And whether I was sitting in circle in the United States or England, I found other people who had the same experiences that I did. So I didn't feel like I was ready to go to a mental hospital because I was having these experiences. Suddenly I had, you know, friends who were having these experiences. Suddenly I had teachers who had been working in this field of spirit communication for 25, 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt accepted, I felt encouraged, and I also learned how to use this gift.
Mm-hmm.
When you first start receiving these experiences, you know, you have no control over whether you're woken up in the middle of the night or you're in the supermarket or whatever. I mean, spirit has to connect with you whenever they can to let you know you have the gift. But once they've gotten that message over to you, yes, you have this gift, then you have to learn how to organize yourself with that and learn how to say to spirit, okay, you know, I'm open for communication now, and right now I'm not open for communication.
Now, you bring up a very good point. Too many times people, and I always chuckle when people say, dude, can you read everything about me right here, right now? And I go, no, I really am not interested, so I'm not going to do it right now. And there is a fascination and a miscommunication many times because of so many Hollywood movies and so much rah-rah stuff that has been promoted through various aspects of media. And you're very down to earth and very grounded, which I respect and appreciate. So when you have had your various experiences and you have been interacting with, you know, practice sessions, which are very important, and you had so many different experiences of your own. One of them you called a waking dream. And you had this in Paris. Tell us
right.
What that waking dream was.
Okay. Well, when I was in Paris, this was during the period of time when my mediumship was starting to develop. I was in the I went to visit the Notre Dame Cathedral, which is one of the most beautiful cathedrals in the world. And there is a crypt down under the ground where there are the foundations of many, many ancient buildings. And it's, you know, there are signs of, around the different formations, rock formations. And so you go through almost like a tour. And as I was walking through the crypt, looking at the different formations, all of a sudden I had a vision of a mother with children. And I felt as if this mother, this woman, was protecting these children. It was a very, very maternal feeling. And I didn't know what was happening, but I just had this vision in the same way that I'd had a vision of my dog. Do you follow me?
Oh, I follow you perfectly.
Yeah. So I had a vision, and I didn't know what this was, but I knew that I felt very drawn to this one stone formation across the room. So I thought to myself, I'll go over there and see what the sign says next to this stone formation. And I went over there, and the sign said something about Saint Genevieve. Well, I'd never heard of Saint Genevieve. I didn't know who she was. And so I set out to find out who this was because I wondered if she had anything to do with the vision that I'd seen. So I looked in my tourist book. I couldn't find out anything about her. And I picked up several other tourist books, and I couldn't find out anything about her. And then suddenly this voice within me told me to go outside and into the large courtyard in front of the Notre Dame Cathedral. And I went up, and there were hundreds of people milling around there. And this voice inside me said, go over to these two men standing by the tree, and they will have a tourist book that will have the information you need. Well, in a normal state of consciousness, I would never run up to two strangers
mm-hmm.
and ask them for their guidebook. But I was in a different state of consciousness. And so in this different state of consciousness, it seemed perfectly normal for me to go up to them and say, may I 60-year guidebook, not knowing, you know, whether they even spoke English, because I was in France. They might not have spoken English. But they did. They lent me their guidebook, and I opened it, and the information I needed was in there, that Saint Genevieve was, in fact, a patron saint of Paris, and that she had rescued some children in a war.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt at that time that perhaps I had had an actual vision of her spirit because I felt that compassion. Now, one of the things that I like to do in my book, Cosmic Connection, Messages for a Better World, is to look at a spiritual experience and see what the different possibilities might be. And later on in my spiritual development, I learned about something called psychometry. Psychometry is when we are able to read stories from stones, from houses, from things.
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me that perhaps I had actually seen the spirit of this saint, or I may have read the information from the stone formation. Are you with me?
Oh, of course.
And so I actually don't know, but I liked telling that story in my book, because I think it was a great opportunity, one, for me to tell the story, but to also illustrate how we can look at a spiritual experience and look at all the possibilities of what may have happened.
I agree, and I think it's wonderful when we can share information through the stories of our own experience, because that enables someone who is listening to make that connection, and that's one of the things that's very good about your book. Now, you bring up something that I think is quite fascinating, and in today's world, we talk about quantum physics and multiple dimensions, and of course, there's a lot of sci-fi movies that are out that talk about shifting from one dimension into another, and Star Trek talked about it for a long time before a lot of the things that have evolved today have talked about it. But you said you had an out-of-body visit to a place called Kalpopopik.
Kalpopopik. I'm just going to footnote something you said, because I think you and your listeners will find it very interesting, and I don't know if there's a spiritual significance to that or this or not, what I'm going to tell you. But when you talk about Star Trek, well, it happens to be that when I was a kid growing up and when my children were growing up, my father was the NBC executive who put Star Trek on the air.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, and my kids have some of the original Tribbles, if you know what the original Tribbles are.
I love that show.
And he was the NBC executive that they argued with. And when it was taken off, and he got it back on again, and he is in all the Star Trek books. So this is something in my background, and so I find that just interesting, all right? I don't know what it means, but it's interesting. Now, yes, I did, in one of my channeling sessions, I felt that I visited another realm, and when I started conducting my channeling sessions in 1987, before I ever knew I was a medium. I was just curious about it. I saw a book on channeling, and I decided to experiment. And in one of these early sessions, I went into what people would consider a light state of trance, turn on my tape recorder, and I started just saying what I heard. And what came forth was a beautiful, beautiful story about this place called Kalpopopik, and I gave the story the title of The Essence of Essence. The titles of the different stories are mine,
mm-hmm.
but the words are exactly as they came through in the channeling session. And you really have to read the whole story in the book, but what The Essence of Essence ultimately talks about is that when we are involved in creative energy, when we are involved in doing things that are spiritual, that are happy, that are musical, that are artistic, we aren't doing things like killing each other and starving each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it really makes this story, The Essence of Essence, it's not just the story, but many people who have read the story or have listened to me read the story out loud feel that it's not just the words, but it's the energy that's embedded in the words.
Yes.
And they mm-hmm. feel a real shift as they experience that story.
I think that everyone's experiences reflect something that's very unique to their own individuality. And yet there's a harmonic that resonates with many. And I find this so interesting when I am speaking with people and interacting with people, how when that resonance is there, they are so hungry to hear more of what you have to say. And that's something that in your book, that in your writing about your experiences and what you have gone through, you give that resonance of compatibility to people that perhaps are trying to figure out some of what they're going through. And for all of what we have in the printed word, for the openness via media, it is amazing to me how many people feel like they're in the dark ages when it comes to this. It's a very individualized experience. I'd like for you to share your experiences, a couple of them, with reincarnation. Because, again, this comes up. People say, I can't explain why I'm having reoccurring dreams. Or I go to a place and I feel like it's home. I can't tell you why. I just know it inside and out. All of these various experiences. So I love it when other people can share theirs. Share your favorite one regarding your coming into the understanding of reincarnation and why it was valuable to you.
Well, one of the things that you'll notice when you read Cosmic Connection is that my chapter on reincarnation or past lives is titled that I'm an agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a past life agnostic. So this is a little bit different than what many other authors have written. I've shared the experiences that I've had where in my channeling sessions I've gone back into past lives, and I've shared the experiences that some other people have had in my book, but I've said that personally I am on the fence with this, and I have to tell you why. Many of the stories that could be explained by reincarnation can also be explained by mediumship. And so I'm not absolutely sure in my own mind which it is. The story, you know, or the scientific experiment where the little boy goes into a neighborhood and he knows who used to live in a house and he knows, you know, he feels it's a past life of his.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be, but it also could be that he is reading the energy of what went on in that house. So I am looking for an experience that will prove reincarnation to me personally in the same way that I've had experiences with spirit communication. I've had that proved over and over and over to me. So there's absolutely no doubt in my mind now that we do live on. But I'm still studying and I'm in process when it comes to reincarnation. I don't tell people yet that I'm a believer, but I'm certainly not a non-believer. I'm just in the process of experiencing it and seeing what conclusions I come to.
I like the fact that you are questioning, and I think that kind of honesty is something that my listeners enjoy as well. The reason being is that we all have to rock, again, our own individual roads. And what may be very comfortable in an experience for one person may not be so comfortable for someone else. And it's good to question. It's
very good to question. And I'd like to remark on something you said before because I think it's very, very important. You said that with all the movies and all the books that are out there, there seem to be people that are still so hungry and that are searching. And I think that's a wonderful comment because that speaks to the fact that it is an individual journey. And that until you have taken the time to communicate with spirit in your own way and grow spiritually, all the books and, you know, all the movies in the world aren't going to do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we see people jumping from one thing to another. you know, this week this person is their guru, and that week, you know what I'm talking about. It.
Oh, yes, I do.
And what they really need to do is to stop and realize that it's all within them, that each one of us is a spark of divine consciousness, and we need to look within. And that's what Cosmic Connection Messages for a Better World is really about. It's hopefully the stories stimulate people to go on their own journey and support people on their own journey. And that journey can be complicated. I know for myself, as I open up more spiritually, I see myself more for who I really am. I can't get away with anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all have good and bad qualities. And, you know, I used to have a different view of myself, but now, you know, if I'm a little bit controlling or manipulative or I'm, you know, doing something that isn't totally honest, it'll just flash in front of my face. I'm starting to see myself more honestly. And sometimes that's fun and sometimes that's no fun at all. And the same thing is happening with my view of the world. I'm starting to really see the problems of the world. I can't, you know, gloss it over. And that at times can throw me into great despair because we do have a lot of problems in our world. And I think it's only through facing our own personal problems and our world problems that we can evolve as a human race in the way that we need to have a better world.
I agree. Now, what I would like to do as a compliment to what you've just said is quote a poem from your book that I think is very, very well stated. And it was the guidance that was given through you on December 19th, 1992, and this is how it reads. Willows weep for the part of you that now dies. It is a loss. It is a giving up. But robins sing and butterflies rejoice that your higher self is now your vehicle for operation in the world. Man lives in a shell that is but a vehicle for transportation of the soul. It is nothing. As it falls away, it is renewed. Walk the road that comes to you. Do not choose it. Do not follow it. Do not find it. Simply walk it as it comes to you. It will curve. It will bend. At times, it will disappear from under your feet, and you will fly instead of walk. That's beautifully stated.
And you read that beautifully. I had shivers as you read that because, you know, those words do come from spirit, and as you read it, you added your own energy to it.
That's true, I did. That is very true. You also have a delightful story that spirit gave you about a lily that I just think is so utterly graceful. And it's, again, a compliment. And I want my audience to look at your book and to be able to enjoy its content. But the story is the lily winding down the stream goes slowly at times because the currents, which are moving back and forth and sideways, although they may be moving at a very rapid rate, the combination of currents produce slow movement for the lily. And it goes on. It's just, you have so many lovely pieces of poetry and story that are in a context that people can pick up, can savor, make a mark in the book. I treat books like old friends, and I write in them, and I make little notes where I think that it's going to be significant, or maybe I will want to share that story with someone else. And to me, again, books are like friends. You have all kinds of stories in here about a little girl and a middle-aged woman keeping a bargain, all kinds, internal investigation, interesting titles, and all kinds of subject matter. How long did it take you to put this book together, Carol?
Well, I started taking the notes in 1987. And as people will read the story, they will realize that I collected these channeling sessions, transcripts of them for years and years with the idea that at some point in my life I might be willing to put the book together. The translating, just the transcribing of the recorded channeling sessions took about a year. And I have many more of them. You know, what you read in the book is simply a sampling of what I transcribed. And then putting the actual book together took a couple more years.
Well,
so if you look at it, you know, it really starts in 1987. And then the actual publishing and putting together and editing took a good 3 years' work. Not working all day at it every day, but it was a huge amount of work.
Now, Ron Monroe and Bob Blake were two very special individuals. How were they involved with your project?
Well, I reached a point in my channeling where I felt that it was not a good idea for me to be alone when I went into such a deep state. And I also felt that it would be interesting to find out what would happen if I had people interact with me while in the state. So I have been sitting in spiritual circles and running spiritual circles for many years, and both of these men I've worked with over the years. And Ron Monroe is a medium, and Bob Blake is not, but a very sensitive, intuitive person. And I wanted as sitters both a medium and a person who wasn't a medium, so that if I had visions while in the channeling state, Ron and I would probably be likely to see the same things because we were seeing it on a clairvoyant level that wouldn't be a level that just anyone could see. You'd have to be mediumistic. And that's exactly what's happened, is they've sat with me and they've interacted with me when I am in the channeling state. Ron and I have tended to see the same clairvoyant images. And Bob will feel a change in energy, but he doesn't see those things.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, it's like he's a control. If he starts to see an image, the chances are that it's manifesting in some kind of physical way that anyone would be able to see.
Well, you have so many different perspectives that you are presenting that anyone that is listening to the show today that has perhaps been going through some experiences of their own, they're going to be able to find out about different areas of learning that you yourself experienced. There is so much of the sharing that goes on that I think that they will be able to also say to themselves, I'm not nuts, I am experiencing something, and where do I go to find out more? Now, you have your resource section where you talk about the different organizations, and, of course, there's different people. There's just so many options for people to be able to investigate so that they don't have to be fearful of this, and I think that your book, Carolyn, goes a long way towards accomplishing that. Now, what is your website so people can go to your website?
My website is www.carolynne.com. If you don't remember, I have an E on Lynn and an E on Carol, you won't find me. But you can find me at www.carolynne.com. And then I also have a separate website that's just for the book, which is www.carolynncosmicconnection.com.
Okay, so we have the two.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Lynn by itself, and that's CaroleLynne.com.
Correct.
And then Carol Lynn Cosmic Connection.com. Well, you've got two of it, folks, so you have your choice that you can go and see either one of them, and you'll find out the information of her book. And, of course, I'm sure it's available on Amazon, et cetera.
Amazon, and Barnes & Noble, absolutely.
Great. Now, I know we're just about out of time here, Carolyn. Would you like to leave my audience with the gift of a thought before we close our conversation?
Yes, I would. I would like to tell them that spiritual discovery can be one of the most beautiful experiences you can ever have. Don't be afraid of it. Don't let people talk you out of it. Join with others. Always make sure that you keep part of your rational mind going so that you can be discerning about what happens to you. But don't be afraid.
And not only that, I think the use of mentors, as you have so clearly stated in your early years when you started, reach out to those people, those organizations that you feel compatible with, because that is going to give you the support you need.
Absolutely. Don't do it on your own.
Carol Lynn, thank you so much for being my guest. CarolLynn.com, and that's CarolLynne.com, or CarolLynnCosmicConnection.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. We'll be coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna, and I am the traveling microphone this week. I'm talking to you from Charlottesville, Virginia, and it is absolutely spectacularly gorgeous here, very warm, but man, the sun's shining, and we are enjoying it tremendously. I wanted to let you know telephone lines are open, and if you would like to chat with me through the marvels of technology, no matter where this microphone is, I'm going to be able to talk with you directly. So all you need to do is call our primary number of 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756, and you are going to be able to get through to me directly, and that's from any place in the world. And remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, you're welcome, after I tell you what I perceive, to ask me a question about anything that is of interest to you. I have a wonderful poem that I wanted to share with you because it just exemplifies this experience that we're having back here on the East Coast. And just imagine yourself in a southern area of the United States. It's hot. This is a place where you're not going to have a steaming cup of hot tea in the afternoon. No, you're going to have sweet tea. That's what's really popular. And, of course, I know in my part of the world, they're just starting to introduce this now during the hot summer months. But this is the poem by Maureen Henderson that I thought was just delightful. Imagine yourself on a front porch, and you're in one of those old-fashioned porch swings, And this is how her poem reads. The porch swing creaks in the breeze at dusk. The sweet scent of roses flavors the air. Supper's over. Children are drowsy. A June day nearly done. Oh, it's just, it's so absolutely the way it is here. People love their front porches. In fact, here in the South, one of the favorite items to have out on a front porch is a rocking chair. Why? Well, it just is comfortable. It helps to cool you because you create a breeze of your own as you're rocking back and forth. But you know what? Rocking chairs are one of the most relaxing mechanisms you can ever employ. And when you live in a warmer part of the world, a climate, usually being outside as it gets to be around dusk, and people used to be this way, they'd get out on their front porches and they'd talk. Neighbors would walk by, sometimes they'd come up to the porches and you'd serve lemonade, and there was this openness of communication. And I think little by little we're beginning to recapture that again. For so many years there's been an isolation type of a positioning, people just not wanting to be out with their neighbors. But I find in our own neighborhood in the Pacific Northwest, if you're outside and you're comfortable and you have a nice front porch, you say hello to people and they start talking, and before you know it, you've got a conversation going. It's amazing when you take walks in the evening, when the weather's pleasant, you're going to meet people that maybe you had in your neighborhood for 20-some-odd years. You didn't even know they were alive and breathing, and you meet them out on a walk. It's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. I know we've had that experience so many times when we've walked our Scotties, Kenzie and Victor, around our neighborhoods. And lo and behold, when the weather's warm, people go say, hi, how are you? You stop, you talk. Your walks are usually double the amount of time you usually spend, but it's wonderful. You talk with people. There's this openness. It's just terrific. And we need to remember that that is a part of life, being able to take time to communicate, to relax, to slow down, to get away from the computers, and to realize you don't have to have the iPod in your ears. You don't have to have your texting finger going 10,000 miles an hour. In fact, why not give that texting some a rest and just put it all away and take time to communicate with other people? It's an amazing experience. It really, really is. Now, I wanted to talk to you about kittens. And the reason this is coming into my mind is in the past couple of days, traveling back to the East Coast, I've been in homes and I have been in environments where their cats have either had kittens or they are just there, and you go, oh, aren't they adorable? They're just wonderful. Well, do you know that during the month of June, there are more kittens put into shelters than at any other time of the year? Now, the month of June was made the National Adopt-a-Cat Month. So if you want to adopt a kitten, this is the month to really visit a shelter. And you can find one. Go online. I know you're all savvy. Go to the ASPCA.org/adoption/shelters. Now, they'll give you a listing of shelters. If you're not sure when you go in to look at one of these adorable kittens, and I've yet to meet a kitten that in my mind was ugly, ask if you can play with a kitten that you really are attracted to, that draws you. Interestingly enough, kittens often will choose you, just like puppies will. I've had that experience so many times. Animals are very perceptive. And they, even when they're kittens, know whether they like you or not. It's an astonishing thing to experience. So if you can play with a kitten in a private room, even for 10 minutes, you'll be able to see a lot of things about their personality. And you know what? If you adopt a kitten from a shelter, you're going to find that they will be more than happy to spay or neuter the kitten, as well as provide the first round of vaccinations for free. Now, I think if you want to adopt a cat, you need to read about cats, because you need to understand that they're very independent souls, and they really feel like they own you. You don't own them. But They all have their own independent personalities, and it is just wonderful. And if getting a kitten bothers you, because you do have some training you have to go through with a kitten, you have to let them know the rules of your house. You can get an adult cat. And at my local bank, there was a family whose elderly family member had died and had this beautiful, beautiful Persian cat. So they asked their friends to post this little poster, and in the bank, I thought, here was this exquisite, mature cat that needed a home. Wanted a home, needed a home. And a woman walked into the bank this one day and said, I am a single woman, and I don't have any family in my life. I would love to adopt this cat. Well, as it turned out, she was interviewed by the family. This is a woman that has had cats in the past, loves them, just wants to totally be committed to the care of this animal. And they said, here it was from this little posting that we had here in the bank, neighborhood lady, and she comes in and tells them stories about the cat every time she comes into the bank. But there is a reason to adopt an older cat. With some situations, you might just want the kitten. But June is cat month. But don't forget, those older cats are going to need a home as well. And, oh, they're just wonderful. They're just absolutely very, very special. Okay, let's talk to you about the guests that are coming up this week. Even though this is a traveling microphone, I'm going to be in Virginia Beach tomorrow doing my show. We're going to be talking about the wacky world of laws. Jeff Isaac is going to be my guest. And if you ever have found out about a law in your community that is totally, completely illogical, you're going to have fun with this show. There are so many laws on the books that should just be dumped. And for some reason, they're not being dumped, haven't been dumped maybe for 100 years. We're going to find out from Jeff why that is the case. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have an open mic hour. So you and anyone that you know, if they want to call in during that entire hour, I'll be talking about different subjects and items, but during that entire hour, you'll be able to call in and chat with me. And then on Thursday, we're going to be dedicating our first part of the show to animals. We're going to be talking about all kinds of animals, llamas, rats, ferrets, cats, dogs, donkeys, horses. We're going to talk about all kinds of critters. Linda and Alan Anderson are going to be my guests. And we're talking about their new book, Angel Animals, which I can tell you, if you're an animal lover, whatever the species might be, snake, lizard, I don't care, you will love this book. And then on Friday, want to learn how you can treat yourself with reflexology? Well, we're going to be traveling to England to talk to Pauline Will, and she is going to be telling us what she, as a reflexologist, knows and knows well, and in her new book, you're going to find out what you can do for yourself. It's so well done, and it's in such a convenient size, you could carry it with you wherever you went. If you travel, all you'd have to do is open it up. If you've got sore feet or you feel certain things, she will have it right there in her little book, what you can do to benefit yourself. Donna Sebo here. If you want to call in and chat with me directly, this is the toll-free number, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. That's the worldwide toll-free number. And you can call in, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Like I said, we're on the road here, and it is going to be a fascinating week filled with all kinds of fun experiences, so I'll be sharing some of those with you. Now, later on, after we come back from the break, we're going to find out how chocolate, yes, chocolate, the ambrosia of the gods, as far as I'm concerned, how it helped a woman get rid of some pain and fatigue. And then, can you get good deals at discount stores? Well, we're going to share with you some information that will perhaps make that easier for you. So give me a buzz if you want to chat. That's 888-815-9756. We're going to be taking a break in just a moment. Phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Donna Sebo here. We'll be coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's Kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. I had mentioned to you that there was a woman that had healed pain and fatigue with chocolate. Well, any of us that are avid chocolate fanciers that just think it's the greatest thing you can ever have, by golly, this was amazing to me, her story. Now, the lady's name is Kathy, and Kathy was finding that in her late 30s, she was spending a lot more time in bed than she should. She couldn't understand why pain was becoming very much a part of her life. She was living with it day in and day out, and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. Now, when she would talk with some friends about it, nobody could figure out, you know how it is when you talk to friends, you say, oh, I'm going through this, and somebody said, oh, well, check this, check that, check the other. Well, at one time, a friend of hers asked her, have you ever had yourself checked with fibromyalgia? Because I've read some things, and it seems like your symptoms match what I've read about it. Well, Kathy was a person that loved books, so she got a book about fibromyalgia. Every symptom, from extreme fatigue to chronic swelling of her joints, fit her. And she said, okay, I've got to go have this checked out. She goes to three different doctors, and they confirmed what she had discovered through her reading. Well, you can imagine how devastated she was. She didn't know what to do. And she took supplements. She was taking prescription painkillers. She tried all kinds of things. She was trying massages and yoga. She said, I even tried electric stimulation on my muscles. She couldn't attend certain family functions. She was in too much pain. She was miserable. Eventually, a business that she had had for years, she had to close down too. But she said what really upset her most is that she could not even do simple tasks like making a bed or cooking dinner because she was in so much pain. She couldn't do it anymore. Now, her children were grown, and she had one youngster still in the house by the name of Kristen. And her dad was having to do everything. And this was really upsetting to Kathy. Well, about the only thing she could do was read. She had to occupy her time. Instead of watching television, she started reading books. Now, she would read about all kinds of places throughout the world. And she started reading about the Mayans and how the Mayans ate a great deal of chocolate. Now, what they would eat was the cocoa beans, the actual cocoa beans from the cocoa plant. And it's chocolate in its most pure form. And if ever you've had it, yeah, it's bitter stuff. I mean, it doesn't taste sweet like, you know, your favorite candy bar. It's really quite bitter. And she said she wondered about this. She kept reading about it. She started going into medical books, and she found that cocoa beans contained ingredients known today as antioxidants and flavonoids. They're disease fighters that are found in plants. And the Mayans believed that it helped, the cocoa bean helped reduce inflammation. Now, this was all from her reading. She wasn't sure whether she could believe this or not, but she said, for heaven's sakes, it's chocolate. Is it going to hurt me? Let me try. What have I got to lose? So what she did, she bought chocolate that was really high in cocoa, 70%. She said that was the highest she could find. And so she started eating a little bit of it every day. Now, it wasn't sweet like she traditionally enjoyed her candy, but she found she really liked it. It really tastes good. Now, she did this for about a week, and to her amazement, she found her pain was dwindling and her energy level was rising. It was occurring with that quick a result. Now, after a month, she was able to attend a function and to dance with her husband. When she went in to see her doctor was amazed because, remember, this doctor had seen Kathy when she was at her worst. Kathy told the doctor about the chocolate that she had been eating. Now, it was fascinating to her when she made this discovery on her own, through her own research. She said there were periodicals that were coming out for the scientific community. Studies began appearing, she said, in prestigious publications like the JAMA, the Journal of American Medical Association, saying that 1 ounce of dark chocolate each day could improve cardiovascular health, lower blood pressure, and cholesterol. And she said, this is amazing. I've read about this stuff. And the Mayans knew this thousands of years ago. Well, she has been using chocolate for over 6 years. She doesn't have any pain. She started a new business. Aha, I'm sure you guessed. She is a chocolate maker. She sells high cocoa chocolates and gives seminars on how the cocoa bean can be healing to people, and she shares her story. Now, she said there was a young woman with rheumatoid arthritis who, thanks to chocolate, can now play the piano again. There's a grandmother who returned to a hobby of knitting because her hands no longer hurt. And a lot of people have been able to stop taking blood pressure medication and pain pills. She hears these stories from people who have heard her story and have said, I'm going to try chocolate. She said, every week someone hugs me, thanking me for giving them their life back. And she said, just think, it's all about this wonderful, wonderful bean, the cacao bean. Now, if you want to seek out chocolates that have at least 70% cocoa or higher, then check them. You go to your favorite chocolate section in the store, or maybe to your favorite chocolatier shop, and ask them for that high level, and you will find that it's there. Now, there is the Dove chocolate has 71%. Dark chocolate in it. And you can buy cacao nibs. Now, I had those, and those are bitter, too. I mean, they really are bitter. But they now have chocolate-covered nibs that have become really, really popular. And you can go to a website, sweetriot.com, sweetriot.com, and you'll find out all about their benefits. And also, there's another company called Endangered Species Dark Chocolate, and they have high amounts, 70 to 72% of the cocoa, and includes wonderful things like blueberries and cranberries, and I've had those, and oh, those are yummy. So you can go to chocolatebar.com if you're interested in that. Well, I know we're out of time. I'm here in Charlottesville, Virginia. It's such a delight to be able to do the show from this beautiful part of the country. If ever you have a chance to visit this historical area, I recommend it highly. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Wherever you are, enjoy your life because it is rich with love. love, opportunity, and blessing. Just take time to appreciate what you have in the moment, and more will be added unto you. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow. Same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. We're talking wacky, wacky laws. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.